But again, and then when I think about obtaining unsurpassable goal as nirvana, so if you think of that, so to achieve that, we need to employ the three trainings. So the three trainings would involve the training of wisdom, concentration, and ethical discipline. So the training of wisdom and ethical the concentration, though the two doesn't have direct kind of contact with these sentient beings, but no doubt the training in ethical discipline has direct link with the sentient beings. For example, refraining from killing, refraining from stealing, or refraining from sexual misconduct and so forth, they have to be adopted by in relation to the sentient beings. And then when you speak about bodhicitta or obtaining the ultimate good, that is the state of Buddhahood, again, that has to be done by way of primarily by way of the bodhicitta. So bodhicitta is something, a mental attitude which is desirous of achieving enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. Again, that has to be generated in relation to the sentient beings. As such, we see that all those qualities or the goals that you are aspiring for, they are directly or indirectly related to the sentient beings. As such, the sentient beings, they are of tremendous benefit of kindness to you. So if you think of your enemy again, so if you generate hatred and anger towards the other person, so that is that mental added negative emotion is responsible in destroying all your virtuous actions. So now, since that this negative action, negative emotion of hatred is something very destructive, destroying the entire virtuous actions of yours, as such, if you think of the antidote, it should be the patience, the practice of patience. And this practice of patience is not something that you are going to derive from your parents, from your near and dear ones, or nor from the Buddhas, because the Buddhas, they are so kind of you, and there is no need for you to be patient. And with your other close ones, again, there is no need for you to generate patience. So the only person with whom you can meditate on patience would be your enemy. So as such, we see that, again, your enemy has been so kind and beneficial to you in being like a teacher to you in teaching you the practice of patience. And there is also the mention that that the ordinary tendency of regarding yourself as something superior and other sentient beings as inferior. So if you reflect well, then you see that there is no kind of gap in that sense, because you just as other beings, they are being kind of caught up in the five aggregates. You also, being tormented by the suffering nature of the five aggregates. So that way you are just equal. And it is also said that, say, if there are a number of people who are imprisoned and they are going to be killed in a few days' time, so it makes no sense if you try to make the distinction, saying that, oh, I'm superior and the other one is less, because all of you are going to die on the same day. So while you're alive, it would be wiser if you try to live harmoniously with those people who are in the same plight as you are, who are going to die on the same very day. As such, reflecting from all these points, you see that there is no way by which you can think of yourself as superior, but rather wisest to adopt the idea that all the sentient beings, including yourself, is just equal. So in terms of your enemy is beneficial to you, so they then, the Shantideva, gave the example of how So then Shantideva in his Bodhisattva Charitara gave the example of the cessation, that is the third truth, saying that the enemy, when we say that the enemy, so it is not something to be felt grateful to, because he has no sense of, although it helps us meditate on compassion and meditate on patience, but he has no sense of actually giving us that instruction of patience. So if that is the case, then the Shantideva puts the example of the truth of cessation, saying that the truth of cessation or the liberation in itself has no intention, because this is not something sentient, it is not something heavy mind in it. It is just a permanent or intransitive phenomena. So it has nothing to do with the any kind of intention to benefit you. And because that this is of kind of benefit to you in actuality, as such, you will treasure, you cherish it so much. And then the next qualm raised is that, however, the enemy has the intention, although they are the cessation and the enemy, they are equal in not having a kind of desire to benefit you, but they are not equal in some other sense, because the enemy has the desire to actually cause you harm, and the cessation doesn't possess that attitude or the feeling as well. And then the Shantideva goes on to resolve the problem by saying that if it is the case that the enemy should be having a sense of affection, sense of love to you, and because of that, deliberately in order to teach you patience, if he is to use harsh words and so forth, so this still then that person won't be classified as enemy. So in that case, we won't have a sense of you will only feel loving to that person, and the concept or this element of patience will not come about. For example, when the doctors, they are cutting your body for surgery, so there, actually, that doctor is doing that out of compassion, love to you. It is because of that we don't say that, I'm cultivating patience to what the doctor is doing, because it makes no sense if you say that, because the doctor is doing that out of compassion. So as such, because your enemy is doing that out of hatred, out of dislike to you, it is because of that there is a possibility of arising hatred in you. And when there is a possibility, room for arising hatred in you, so there then the practice of patience comes about. So it is because of this that we see your enemy is specially of kind to you in teaching you the instruction of instruction on patience. So that way you have to feel grateful, extremely grateful to your enemy for teaching you patience. And then Shantideva, he says, if I do not exchange my happiness and the suffering for others correctly, Buddhahood will not be attained, and there will be no happiness in samsara either. Just as it is expressed here, you should think of cherishing oneself as the door to all problems and cherishing others as the basis of all excellencies. So then through reflecting on the faults and the benefit of reflecting on the two kinds of cherishing oneself and cherishing others, so by reflecting on the faults of cherishing oneself and reflecting on the benefit of cherishing others, so you then make further reflection that the self-cherishing mind, which had been existing in me since beginningless time, right in the center of my heart, so that has been the agent which is responsible creating all pains and agony in me. So, for example, even when you have taken birth as just a small insect, so there also you find the presence of that self-cherishing mind in the inner core of your heart. And because of this self-cherishing mind the desire for happiness, you have strove so hard to fulfill this self-cherishing mind, and yet there has never been a time that you have really accomplished that. So now seeing the fault of the self-cherishing mind, and then realizing that the self-cherishing mind would lead you to no good. So now you start cherishing in the opposite way, cherishing others, and being indifferent to yourself. So now there's the, if you choose to choose another way, that is now acting in a different way, in the opposite way, by cherishing yourself, starting to cherishing others, and then being indifferent to yourself. So you try to employ this kind of wisdom or the technique to see if your desire for happiness is fulfilled fully. So by so doing, even if the desire is not fulfilled, there's no regret, because both the kind of techniques or the ways you have already employed yourself in. So the Buddha through developing this mind of bodhicitta, developing the attitude of altruism, so he's able to fulfill both the intentions, the interest of oneself in a perfect way, and the intention of others in a perfect way. And whereas the sentient beings, through being motivated by the self-cherishing mind, so on top of not being able to fulfill the benefit of other sentient beings, we are unable to fulfill the intention of the self-interest as well. So now that we have taken birth as a follower, as a follower of the Buddha Shakyamuni, so we should cultivate such a commitment or the conviction that, now that I've taken birth, I've taken birth as a kind of genuine follower of Buddha Shakyamuni, so I must really imitate what he had, kind of the path that he had followed, and that I'm going to cultivate. First of all, I'm going to cultivate a genuine sense of great compassion, and then I'm going to cultivate the special attitude, the desire to take the responsibility upon oneself to alleviate all other beings from samsara, and then to generate the actual bodhicitta, the desire to achieve enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. So that should be the proper way, or the proper way for us to cultivate while following a Mahayana practice. And Shantideva rightly said that what need is there to say anymore? The childish work for their own welfare, the Buddhas for the welfare of others. Look at the difference between the two.